Yeah. And speaking of that, you got another one here, the drug war featuring Rocker T.
Yeah, he's from Oakland. I'm from Chicago myself, and we linked up for this song. It's pretty much just one of those protest songs against the drug war, because it's just totally messed up here in our country that anyone ought to be in jail for any drug, any non-violent crime related to drugs, but especially marijuana when that's a part of our culture, part of our culture before slavery, pre-colonial times. We was using that as a part of our culture, whether it's Hebrew or in Africa, in the Native Americas, Central Americas, South America, Australia. I mean, people was getting down with it.
It's very true, and it's been used for about 10,000 years or so, roughly. And so far, according to a lot of sources, hasn't actually killed anybody. And my wife's brother said that to his parents. And they weren't too keen on hearing that, and weren't too inclined to believe it. Neither was my sister. And I go, yeah, of course, it's just totally untrue. It's totally untrue, because you're forgetting about all the people that have been shot in the back by the cops running away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting, because when I got into some trouble with the law because of it, and I was talking with them about it, as trying to figure out how they could even feel justified doing what they were doing. And they were like, well, this, it may be a just a plant, but there's so many people getting shot because of it and killed. So it's blood money, and that's blood related to that weed. And I was like, that wouldn't be happening if it could grow freely and everyone could have as much as they need. That's the only reason why there's this fight and people, there's wars in the streets about weed, and people trying to steal each other's weed, is because they're living in a scarce system. I mean, also they're making bad choices and have foolish ways of reacting to their situation that they're in. But it is a common reaction of people to try and fight and take something when they're in that crab in a barrel mentality.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Drug War featuring Rocker T, ladies and gentlemen.
The drug war only exploits the poor. Blacks and Latinos getting locked up more. Said the drug war seeks to suppress the cure and enslave the people for their culture of yore. The drug war makes innocent blood poor. Families tore apart and their appeals ignored. The drug war, it ain't fought offshore. It's against we the people on our own front door. Just my mother's green earth, herbs and weeds. Police have no rights to search and seize. Jah gives I and I the herb bearing seeds. No government can come and try and take it from we. Freedom of religion is the First Amendment to the Constitution, and you're not gonna end it. So when we light the chalice, yo, do not get offended. It's a holy sacrament that the scripture recommended. It's our divine right to pursue happiness, and I get happier when I consume the cannabis. It cleared up my asthma. I've been using ever since. That's a testament of my own evidence. No matter where we are, we have the right to be free. And no matter where I be, I'm gonna light up the trees. A prayer unto Haile Selassie, I sing. Naya bingi, more fire we are bring. The drug war only exploits the poor. Blacks and Latinos getting locked up more. Said the drug war seeks to suppress the cure and enslave the people for their culture of yore. The drug war makes innocent blood poor. Families tore apart and their appeals ignored. The drug war, it ain't fought offshore. It's against we the people on our own front door.
Why you wanna blame the weed when it's the thing that the world needs? Come on, as every little bird see, the only crime when a slime try kill a bird. Coming in hard with them sterilized, but die and I don't recognize. Stuck a heirloom with a beehive, I and I got to strive, got to stay alive. We calling for justice and peace, resisting the mark of the beast. Not falling for war in the streets. We're making the most from the least. And they're always saying it's a gateway, cause ganja living is a great way. The Babylon man and the Rastaman attende. You better listen, better hear what a man said.
The drug war only exploits the poor. Blacks and Latinos getting locked up more. Said the drug war seeks to suppress the cure and enslave the people for their culture of yore. The drug war makes innocent blood poor. Families tore apart and their appeals ignored. The drug war, it ain't fought offshore. It's against we the people on our own front door.
And we're back. It was actually quite a nice break listening to that. I do very much think of the drug war as personal, because it has affected me directly. You know, affected my family. It actually changed my whole world. Not the drug, but getting busted for it. And it didn't change my world in a good way.
Right.
So how can it be legal to do more harm than the drug you're trying to protect people from?
It's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's like, it has to be a plot. It's just generating too much money. And the reason why they need it is because they're in a scarce mentality. They're in a lack mentality. When you feel like the resources of the earth are getting short, then you need to exploit people in order to, so that they can become your resources and become your source of money. And so they found a new way to institutionalize slavery through the drug war. And even if you're not locked up for it, when you're paying lawyer fees, when you're paying court fees, when you're paying whatever you have to pay, and losing property, and the government is able to sell this property with fractional reserve banking once again and make money out of nothing from it. It's just another ploy of the system that people are either too afraid, too ignorant, or just too complacent to even speak about. Except for people like you or me and some of our friends and people we hang with.
Well, what's our problem then?
What'd you say?
Well, what's our problem then? Why can't we just deal with it and be a slave like everybody else?
Well, I think we might have smoked too much weed, and it's I mean, honestly, it's... We have in our body, everyone, even people who are against weed, has something in their body called cannabinoid receptors. So it means that our body is wired to want to receive cannabinoids in our body. Now, there are a couple other plants that produce cannabinoids, but there's none that produce them in the extent that cannabis does. And there's also theories, not only just theories, I mean cultures, the doggone say that cannabis came to Earth from Sirius, from the Sirius star system. The Sirius star system is in Canis Major. Canis, once again, sounds like cannabis. And then you have Anubis, which is the god, the dog-headed god of Egypt, which looks just like, which sounds just like cannabis. But not only that, canine and bis, canine means dog, and bis means two. That's two dog. And Sirius was known as a two dog star, as the, there's two dog stars in the Sirius system. And so cannabis has been said to have come from Sirius in the doggone tradition. And they say that it's used to commune with God in ourself. It's actually when we attach those cannabinoids to our cannabinoid receptors, it begins to unlock different potentials of our body and of our brain. And the science is so new and not even being researched enough to prove exactly what I'm saying. But it's something we know through experience, just because we tend to flow into a greater stream of consciousness and intelligence when we use it. And I know me using it, I've combated in all types of disease and ailments and things that would normally have kept me down and out from working, or kept me from feeling at ease. I've been able to use cannabis very triumphantly. So I give thanks for it, and for some of the cosmology related by the indigenous people in relation to it.
It has so many values, is the thing.
It is. It's the. I feel it's the most valuable plant on Earth.
Well, and the only plant on Earth that has two very, very distinct, distinguishable sexes. You know, you ever seen a male willow tree or a female willow tree? Can't tell the freaking difference. You see a male cannabis plant and a female cannabis plant, they're very obviously different.
For sure, for sure. That's a good observation.
And because they're the only plant on Earth that's like that, allegedly, it actually kind of lends to my mind at least a little bit towards the direction of what you're saying. That it came from outer space. The outer space weed.
For sure. And you can, might even be able to make see Mary as the female version and Juan or John as the male version. And that's where the name marijuana came from.
It was just Mary Jane. It was a local nickname, marijuana.
Right. Mary Jane. And see, that's how I like to alchemize everything and go to the etymology of it. Another good researcher who does that really well is William Henry. He has similar views as I, that the Illuminati actually has benevolent intentions, and that it's not the Bilderbergs and these people. It's actually in very enlightened, loving people who are working behind the scenes. And he speaks about like Obi-Wan Kenobi and relates that to cannabis. He speaks of the Kenobi tribe as well. It's very, some of his theories are very interesting. I love him.
Yeah. Well, I think it's as I mentioned before, it's good to visit things and listen to things that, you know, sometimes appear a little bit whacked out, you know?
Cool. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, because upon first impressions, I was just thinking about this the other day, John, is that if you give somebody a first impression, all the truthers are trying to, like, wake people up. They, like, tell them a piece of information or whatever. But that person hasn't seen the documentary. They don't know the information behind the information that you're trying to connote. So they misconstrue it, and it goes all over the place, and they shoot it back at you. You ever notice that?
Sure.
They start arguing with you. And they start telling you who you are. So you've just met this person. They start telling you who you are. And then you start telling them who they are. You're a slave. You're a... So... It's a conversation of two people who don't know each other telling each other who each other is.
Yeah.
And naturally, you don't get very far.
No, it's you can get some short-lived entertainment and laughs out of it, and maybe a little high blood pressure, but I don't think that it does much else.
Unless you get it on video. Because have you noticed people love watching people argue like forcefully in the streets on YouTube videos?
They do. They do. I'm actually going to one of my new blogs that I'm going to start like once or twice a month. I'm going to do videos where I'm just building with some of my friends who disagree with me. I have one friend. We have debates all the time. He's more into the Bible. He's more into the Alex Jones version and Ron Paul version of things. And I definitely agree with a lot of it. But there's a lot of points that I disagree with. And we bring up a lot of good points that are great for research and alternative views of things. So I look forward to being able to share some of those conversations.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And even upon reflection, you can notice that how you argue and what you do. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and I said to him, "No, you're going about it all wrong. You don't tell them what is and what isn't. You just ask them what they think is. You know, you just wear them down with a series of questions. Do you believe that money and power attracts bad people sometimes and they get control of it? Well, yeah, of course. So do you think that it's possible that a whole bunch of really bad people have kind of, just slowly over the last 100 years or so, give or take, let's say for the sake of argument, have slowly taken control of all of the money and power or pretty much whatever they need? Yeah, I guess that's certainly possible. Okay. So, do you reckon there's a bunch of ruthless criminal scumbags that are currently running the globe? No, seriously. Am I the conspiracy theorist now? Or is it perfectly reasonable?
Yeah. I mean, that is a great way. The asking of questions is actually the best way not only to teach, but also to learn. It keeps you in a teaching and a learning state so that, on my Facebook page, I've been asking a lot of questions and they get a lot of attention because people like to share their opinion. And it's so, not only does it help me spread what I'm sharing, but it also helps me learn what other people are thinking and sharpen my ideas and improve in the ways I'm thinking about things. But a lot of times people think that they ought to come on to your social network post to try and dismantle your personal view or belief. And it's very peculiar to me how people will often seek out others who they supposedly disagree with, but they're on their page all the time. Certain people come on my page all the time in disagreeance with me, but they're the ones who sought me out in the first place. So I find it interesting. I know they're attracted to some of my alternative views for sure, but sometimes might not know how to express appreciation for the differing views. Because sometimes they can be so shattering to your paradigm. I talk about physical immortality a lot, and that really shatters paradigms because it sets us up as sovereigns. You have to be sovereign and totally responsible for your life and your death if physical immortality is an option. And so that most religions people are taught that they have to die, and in school and in science, most of the commonly held beliefs in those institutions are that physically everyone must die. But there's so many traditions like the 8 Taoist immortals of in a Chinese and Taoist tradition who physically they were immortal. In Tibet, you have the 84 Mahasiddhas who, and the rainbow body accomplishment is when you turn your body to light into a rainbow and you don't die. You can come and go with your mind and your will through dimensions. And the Siddhas like Babaji and in the traditions of India, there's many traditions all over the world, even like Saint Germain in the Europe traditions, people who supposedly learn the secret to not die physically. And when I speak about that, those two words, I could say physical, no one gets mad. I could say immortality, no one gets mad. But when you put those two words together, it shatters a certain belief system. Whether I accomplish it or not, whether it's realized in my lifetime or not, the idea shatters limiting belief structures that have been forced upon us before we came into this incarnation. And I personally see myself as realizing and accomplishing it, because now is all there is, and I'm alive now. So as long as I keep strengthening my life urges and weakening any death urges, I will go on living in eternal health and youthfulness.
If you say so. Just talk to me in 10 years, see how that works out for you.
We'll talk in 100 years. It won't mean anything for another 100 years to many people.
Oh, but yeah, but the proof is in the pudding, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the idea, though, helps.
Can I interject something, though?
Please do.
Because there was a dude in India, I'm led to believe, who didn't drink water or eat food.
Yeah.
Prahlad
Jani.
Yeah. And he hadn't been doing that for quite some time. What was it, like 7 years or something, when they conducted the studies on him? And he was just like sitting in a lab days and days on end, just breathing.
Yeah, he said even longer than that. He said he hasn't ate for way over 7 years. He secretes this substance. That's where the word secret comes from, by the way. If we get back to the secret and occult hidden knowledge, the word secret comes from secretions. And that's the most esoteric knowledge in masonry, is how to get your body, how to function properly. Your brain, you know how they say we only use 10% or 5% of our brain. Well, there's ways to activate your whole brain, to activate dormant DNA that you want to come to life and go beyond the caterpillar stage of humanity into the butterfly stage of humanity. That's why there's even a crop circle that was formed recently that was made with man having butterfly wings, because it's some of the more advanced beings attempting to communicate to us, yo, there is a process of transformation that takes place in you, and all it takes is your imagination. You have to imagine it and then believe it and then live it. That's it.
You know, there's a lot of empowering things that people can do in their own lives, you know. And I think that the reason why they don't do those empowering things is because they've gotten a bit too comfortable. They haven't had enough trauma yet to kind of motivate them. You know what I'm saying?
Or they've had so much trauma and they've repressed it and suppressed it, and it's not become activated yet. I think it's sort of the opposite. I think we're all traumatized when we come into this earth. Like, I think birth is the first trauma, when the doctor puts needles in you and cuts your umbilical cord too soon and then slaps you and takes you away from your mom and puts you in some room with strangers, and you just sitting there and you just was in a womb comfortable with someone that you knew for all this time, and you're took away like that. That sets you up with these pre-verbal thoughts, and you start thinking like things that start to run your life. And these thoughts that run your life begin to run the institutions and set agencies and schools and religions and all these things with these complex belief systems that further the trauma and the suppression and the repression so that we no longer live from our blissful self, from our original self, which was just really a pure blissful state of being. Like when you were a baby, even though you were traumatized like that, you still had your bliss, your deeper connection to bliss. But as the parental disapproval, like parents who came up with the same traumas through the same schools, through the same religions, through the same societal brainwashing techniques, are forcing these different paradigms of right and wrong on their children and limiting their imagination and their creativity. And then the schools, once again, it's just a recurring cycle. And so I think the trauma is there on everybody, even just in a Western society where it seems there's no bombs and no threats of there's a different type of trauma. Like Bob Marley said, everyone thinks his burden is the heaviest. Like everywhere there is a burden somewhere in a trauma. I think it's mainly our problem in the West is suppression. We have so many distractions to
oh, and how many drugs are there?
Exactly. All these artificial pharmaceutical drugs that cover us up and even alcoholism. There is a healthy use of alcohol. There's a healthy use of natural tobacco. There's a healthy use of even pharmaceutical drugs if a responsible doctor knows how to share them. But currently, we are in a society where people are irresponsible. They're no longer sovereigns, no longer aware of the power of their own energy body, and have suppressed it for fear of what those thoughts and what those things mean. And that's why I give thanks for some of these triggers, though, that are in society, because I don't give thanks that people were killed in 9/11 in the Twin Towers. That there's a great tragedy in that. Yet simultaneously, how many people decided to wake up? How many people decided to change from that trigger that was used? There was an intention behind it to use it as a trigger to cause more fear and to keep people more complacent. But how many people went the other way and are starting to become more enlightened from observing the fucked up things? And that's what I like to focus on, the alchemy ability that we have within us in the midst of any fuckery that any group is doing.
Any scumbaggery needs to be exposed, you know? And I was just thinking as you're saying this, like, how are news journalists supposed to believe what they're seeing on 9/11, you know, and report the anniversary every year? And it's like, yeah, it happened. It was planes. Yeah, there was some fires, yeah. And meanwhile, the guy goes home to his barbecue, and he turns it on. And lo and behold, the grill doesn't melt from a naked flame. So, how can this happen? How does this work? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so people have become, shall we say, accepting of things that are nonsense. Huh?
Mm, yeah, for sure.
Especially orders given to you by authorities. That weed is bad, I'm going to take you to jail. But that's nonsense. Yeah, but I'm an authority. Oh, okay, it's all right then.
Yeah, the authority thing that relates back to that trauma. Like we've set up this system where we feel we need authorities, because when we were little, we were forced unto the authority of our parents. And so we're forced into the authority in schools. And that's not to say that parents aren't guides to children, but parents aren't the authority of what a child decides to think and be. The whole authoritarian system that we have it's based on this birth trauma. Almost everything relates back to birth trauma. From my point of view.
Well, I saw this video on YouTube of a little baby boy getting a circumcision. And how he's just screaming in terrible pain. It was horrific. And you can just think about it. It happens to so many people every day. And what happens to you earlier in life, I think some studies have come out or whatever, saying that trauma like that at birth sticks with you just as much as a big trauma in your life. You know, if you've ever been held at gunpoint or something like that, or been kidnapped by the Chicago PD, these things are inherently burned into your memory. You can't forget them, but you have to learn to live with them, and you have to do something with them. Because you realize, hold on a second. That bad thing happened to me, but I'm still alive. It didn't actually kill me. I'm not made of glass, am I?
Right.
And sometimes, through traumatizing people, you create the most dangerous enemies.
For sure. That when they swing to the other extreme, or when they integrate it, like Jesus. For example, if you believe in the historical Jesus, he could have been seen to be an example of that, because he was teaching the people of their own personal divinity, and not just teaching it with words, but supposedly accessing the power that potential connection to divinity has for all people, and sharing that with people. And that was one of the most revolutionary things, teaching people to love their enemies. When you really love and forgive those that attack you, it really pisses them off, because they were hoping to get a reaction out of you and like fuck you up. Because when people attack, it's always a call for love. There's no person who is seeking happiness and joy and peace in their life and fulfillment, who just, if they're in their right mind, they're not going to attack you at all. The only reason someone attacks is because their mind is demented because of a lack of love. They have somehow disconnected from being aligned with their source and their true self, which is bliss, and they're calling out for love. They're like, yo, please love me. Please forgive me. Please teach me what love in Christ is. Teach me what forgiveness is, because I don't know it. I'm such a jerk that I have to attack people knowing I haven't learned love. And that's why I use love as my greatest, like, beam. That's my weapon of mass loving. My heart. You
know, my love is my love is my weapon of mass loving.
That's what I'm saying. I know it could sound very, very hippie-ish, but it goes deeper than just saying I love you. Like, what does love really mean? It's not just a sentiment. It's not just a feeling, even though you can have a feeling when you're emanating it. But love is a commitment to life. Love is a commitment to seeing the divinity in yourself and in another person, and seeing the best. And speaking, love is a commitment to speaking to and encouraging that best in you, and giving attention to and encouraging that best in that Christ and that loving spark that you are confident and faithful exists in every single entity. That's what I feel love is.
Well, is it difficult then to love one other person you know, like a husband and wife kind of thing, if you conversely love everything?
Well, there is something called a special relationship, according to the A Course in Miracles teaching, where they say that you can distract yourself from knowing pure, freely given, unconditional love, love no matter what. You can distract yourself from that with a special relationship, trying to make your relationship with your husband or your wife or your children or this friend or that friend more special than another relationship with someone else. There is a balance between, in my perspective, from having this universal, freely flowing love for all people and simultaneously having and developing personal relationships, close personal relationships with your with those that are in your general vicinity. If you come to have a deep love for someone that's freely flowing for your wife or for your girlfriend, does that mean you're going to treat them just like you treat any stranger? No, it's the same way you talk to your children, you talk to the garbage man, you talk to everyone differently depending on what role they play and what role you play in their life.
I think the people that I notice that I talk the most differently to, as opposed to any other kind of person, is the police. I say a lot. I say a lot less when it's the cops, and it's usually no comment.
For sure.
Or I'm just an innocent bystander. Somebody just left this megaphone on my shoulder. I don't know where it came from.
That's smart.
You know, what you're going to do?
That is intelligent.
No, I don't do that. I actually kind of attract attention to myself, come to think of it, and try and make the cops laugh and stuff like that. I like getting laughing cops on camera. It's fun. And the unfortunate thing is some of them... you were talking before about people who just, you know, want to be loved, just want to be forgiven and what have you. I think there's also some people who don't want love, don't want to be forgiven, and actually hate the very idea of it, and hate anybody who's got any love, anybody who's got any good feelings, and just want to crack them down. You know, just real nasty, cruel, and basically the epitome of what one might call evil. Who actually delights in the pain and suffering and torture of others and actually can't live without it.
I think the only way anyone could get to that point is by extreme trauma. And I just look at everyone sort of like a baby. Like, there may be people like that, but they were once a baby and they once had potential to be something else. And if that's the case, am I going to lock them into what I see they've manifested based on what their thoughts and environment allow them to produce? Or am I going to decide that I am the sovereign? I am empowered, and they are. As much as their Wizard of Oz show tries to act like it's empowered, I am the empowered one with my consciousness in my heart field energy. So I'm going to tune into that and create a new vision for them. I'm going to say, you know what? I love you. Whatever love you lacked and your parents didn't give you, whatever was beaten out of you, you know, I'm going to reinstill that and tell you I forgive you and love you. And maybe they didn't want it. Maybe they didn't want it on their conscious level.
Yeah, because that approach didn't work too well for the hippies at Kent State.
No, I know what you're saying. You can't do that right in someone's face, up in someone's face who has guns. Like, that's not necessarily what I'm
talking about. That's just not clever.
No, not at all. It's more so of like a persistent belief and vision that you have to hold, not necessarily going out
and of course. as they talk about in urban areas, you know, everything's fine and dandy and everything like that, and you treat everybody with love, but as soon as somebody pulls a gun on you, just freaking run.
That's it.
That's it. There's a good Ghostface Killah song. And that's all it's about. It's called Run. It's a classic Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh my God. You're a racist thought. Is that half the reason why the African American males can run so fast?
Well, we definitely have to be able to.
Yeah.
One thing I don't get is how, like, I don't sag my pants, but I wonder how people can run when they got their pants sag and their shoes is like unlaced, and or if they got them tight jeans on. I don't know if that was a plot by the Tavistock and the Committee of 300 to get people more catchable. Because I'm sure you can't run your pants falling down like that.
Well, I think we may have discovered one of the contributing factors to the ever-growing African-American male population in the U.S. prison system. It is a conspiracy. They started a fashion trend. And now them boys can't run away from the cops, no good. It's a perfect system, you know?
Yeah.
But on a more serious note here, the other thing that I've found that's happening to my perception of the world is that people are actually naturally racist. They all stick with their own tribe and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, I have coined a philosophy that I've been sharing a lot, especially this month, and it's called race itself is racism. Like, see, if I see things as a pessimist, or if I'm a pessimistic or pessimism, that's because I see like a bad outcome for something, because I'm looking at things pessimistically. If I see the ideal, then I'm an idealist. Well, if I see race, I'm a racist. And I'm not saying anyone's bad for acknowledging race as it was given as an idea or a thought construct. We have to be able to acknowledge that that thought construct was put out there at some time by someone. But simultaneously, I have no association whatsoever with the word African, African-American, with the word black. Like, my association with the word black is more related to the dark energy and the dark matter that makes up 99.9% of this universe. That's more of when I talk about black, I go to a deep metaphysical and quantum physical level about it. And I'll call myself white. Same way, I'll say I'm white. Like, we're all white because our skeletons are white. I have ways of looking at things that are to play with the ideas of race, because I think race is just that. It's a race. It's something set up to make people compete. And it's set up by the ego, the false ego within us that needs differences and needs similarities.
Sorry about that.
That's all good.
Well, two things. What Morgan Freeman said about race, and I think a interviewer asked him a question, you know, how does it feel as an African-American man? And he says, well, actually, I'm going to call you Jerry, and you call me Morgan.
Right.
You know? See?
He said, I don't want to celebrate Black History Month. When is Jewish History Month? Do you want to celebrate that? When is White History Month? And you don't never celebrate that. Why can't it just be American History Month? And the reason it can't be is because race is another ploy used for consumerism, another ploy used for fear, and used to relegate or to create a division and a fight between people based on very superficial differences.
Well, yeah, and there's also an inherent bias in the system as well. It even happens here in New Zealand. Like, I think in, what was it? If you are a Maori man, you are 9 times more likely to go to jail for the same offence as a non-Maori man.
Right.
Right. And I think it's the statistics with African American is exactly the same in the United States. And so what my thought is there's this actual extremely well-funded, well-organized eugenics operation going on here.
Oh, yeah. It totally is. It's totally slavery being reinstitutionalized, and it's set up under the, if you can get people to ascribe to certain racial belief systems, to certain religious belief systems, then they'll undoubtedly almost every time perform in certain problem, reaction, solution methods that you want them to, because you've programmed who what they identify with. It's like, okay, that group of people identifies themselves as black nationalist, pan-African, they're militant people. That group over there identifies themselves as black progressive liberals. That group there considers themselves white progressive hipster liberals. This group over here considers themselves conspiracy theorists and the fringe of society. This group and all these labels that people consider themselves, there's experiments that are done to see how these groups will react to certain triggers. And they do almost, they react the same way almost every time when you are associating yourselves with these belief systems that are really corporate, they're corporate funded behind the scenes, most of them.
What are you saying?
Well, there's just a deep corporate funding behind a lot of religious and academic institutions, whether it's the science or the religions. Both of them are receiving a lot of support in order to keep division at the forefront and to play down any unity or play down what the potential, really to just hide the potential of what would happen if we united and gave up all of the dividing doctrines and dogmas. It's fine if you want to believe whatever you believe. It's fine if you want to be a part, call yourself this nation or that nation. I don't want anyone to have to remove the things that they like about themselves and the way they describe themselves. I would just rather that people have the freedom to make those choices and not be slaves or victims to predetermined ideas and patterns of mind programming that have been laid out for hundreds of years, possibly thousands.
Yeah. Well, it still goes on strong in Hollywood today. You know, you watch any Michael Bay film, there's a comical black characteristic of some kind of creature or character or something like that. You know, I think Dave Chappelle even talked about this, that there's an agenda through Hollywood to kind of demonize and put everything down. And again, it's all inciting that division. You know how many races there are in the entire world? It's one. Mm-hmm. The human race. We're all brothers in this, for frack's sake.
Exactly. And I totally agree. And that racism, that's why I feel that we have to give up the idea of race. Many people are really attached, like they need race to feel special.
Yeah, like, they need a race like it's a competition.
Oh yeah, or it's like, yeah, my roots are Irish. Like they have nothing to talk about. People are just so boring that they need to be Irish or Greek or Turkey or Cambodian or Ghana, just like you need to say you these things because it helps you identify yourself. But really, your identity is limitless. If you want to identify with where you came to the earth at, that's fine. That's not, I'm not doing
that. I am descended from that particle of dust.
Yeah, like this,
it's up to you. But just know that they're all just perspectives. There's no absolute reality to the way we are defining ourselves. And I think us holding this absolute reality to the way we define ourselves is what causes people to be able to be manipulated so easily, because as long, if you identify with something, then all I have to know is, how does a person who identifies as a Christian react to this? How does a person who identifies as a Republican Christian react to this? How does a person who identifies as a Democrat Christian react to this? And you'll be right almost every time. Once people have those labels that they've given themselves already.
Hey, well, I think that's part of the power of being a politician, is that you have to simultaneously appeal to and not offend all these different types of people, which is why a politician can utter hundreds of words and not say a goddamn thing.
For sure.
You know...
I might have been a good politician if I went down a different path.
Yeah, you'd be one of the whack ass homeboys running your mouth in a suit. The real gangsters. You know, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Have you ever heard that song by Ghetto Boys?
Oh yeah, I redid it and did "Damn It Feels Good to Be a Bankster."
Oh yeah. Hey, I did a Bankster song as well. Speaking of which, we have a couple of songs of yours still left to go. We got Illuminati Congo, Tell Me Who, OONO, Traptilian, The Conspirators Mixed.
What? Oh yeah, you don't even know.
You what?
It's the acronym UOENO is supposed to pronounce. You don't even know. Like, you don't even know. That's what it's some more that ghetto mind control.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like a card game for a minute there. Like Uno.
Uno.
All right. Well, you ain't even know. You ain't even. What was the game? Okay, let me just get it. You know, you all even know. Y'all don't even know. Okay, I got it. It's good. Here we go. Y'all don't even know.
You don't even know. This shit sound crazy. This shit sound crazy. Flash it on it. You know what I'm saying? $1,000 shoes, you don't even know. $1,000 lane, you don't even know. Just have me in a car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know. My niggas all ride with me, you don't even know. I got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know.
All C&I spying in your home, you don't even know. Obama flying them drones and bombing, you ain't even know. Sweatshop, chop labor, pop the tags, you ain't even know. Boston bombing was a false flag, you ain't even know. Fluoride inside the water, why, you ain't even know. Chemtrails flying through the sky, you ain't even know. It's Monsanto and GMOs, you ain't even know. MK Ultra mind control, you ain't even know. They CIA, Pointel Pro, you ain't even know. Who run the globe, on the low, you ain't even know. Passing laws to confiscate the guns, you ain't even know. They the Wizard of Oz, my niggas is guys, you ain't even know.
$1,000 pair of shoes, you don't even know. $1,000 propylene, you don't even know. Just have $1 million car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know. My niggas all right with me, you don't even know. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know.
got a $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know it.
Yeah. Isn't cancer man-made genocide? We ain't even know. Eating nutrients and pesticides, we ain't even know. A free infinite energy supply, we ain't even know. All sources die before they testify, we ain't even know. Bob Marley was assassinated, we ain't even know. They killing kids with vaccinations, you ain't even know. We was here before Columbus, you ain't even know. A black president don't mean justice, you ain't even know. What leaders beating in Bohemia Grove, you ain't even know. This sign, symbol, secret codes, you ain't even know. Whole United States of Corporation, you ain't even know. Prison, the new slave plantation, you ain't even know.
Yeah, man. You don't even know.
Yep. So that's that little tidbits of facts here and there, or things people could research to see if they if it's really true or not.
I wonder if that works, or if the lyrics are only really appealing to people who already know about the topics.
Well, the thing is, this I did that song over. Over a beat, like if you could hear on the chorus or the hook, that's some other people's song that's really big in the hip hop scene or in the rap scene. It's not even in the hip underground hip hop. That's not really our shit, but in the radio, that song is all over the radio, and really a lot of those people got a chance to hear this song, and it's gone pretty far. So I think it's gotten to the ears of at least a few people who, like, that's sort of my mission. I do music to also not just preach to the choir. Like, a lot of rappers and reggae artists who are doing conscious music, it only gets to a certain type of people. It doesn't get to the deep hood and to the people who really could benefit from hearing some different ideas. And I've done a little best I can to get some things into those arenas, even though I've been living this yogi lifestyle, like I said, since I was a little guy. So it's hard for me to like try to act from a different persona than I am. I'm a yogi, so I'm usually
what,
like gonna
sound
like
the bear.
Yeah, very similar to the bear. Like that's even deep too, because we could break down Ursa Major, which is a star constellation known as the bear, and everything occult knowledge is always related to either the stars or not. Now I don't want to say either. It's always related to the stars and your body, your physical body, as above, so below. So that's one of the main secrets of masonry. I'm a mason, by the way. I'm an Egyptian mason. It's not something where any of the knowledge is secret. All the knowledge is free. The only things that are secret, like I said, are the secretions that happen inside of us, inside of your body, that are biophysiological happenings that help transform your body. And then you have certain initiations where what happens in the initiations, that has to remain secret because it's the element of surprise, the element, there's power in secrecy. Like when I plant a seed in the soil, in the earth, you may want it to not be a secret to see how it grows. You may want to watch it grow, but you can't. It needs to grow in the dark and in that secret. And in the same way, some things have to be in the dark for their natural process to unfold. Now, that doesn't mean that I support doing things, sinister things in the dark in order to harm people. That's a different form of secrecy.
Well, in that case, you're not part of the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite of the 33rd degree, are you?
No, see, that's
Yeah, because what's happened with Freemasonry is basically the Scottish Rites tried to take it all over, and there's still other pockets of, like, true Freemasonry still out there that's about, like, development and understanding the world and stuff like that, as opposed to one that's kind of just trying to groom you so that they can possess you with a demon at some point.
Use you for their purposes, correct? Yeah, I'm of the Egyptian Rite, which is related to the Kemetic in Moorish science. It's related to Cagliostro and Saint Germain, to Tahuti. It's an ancient order, but it's we're brothers with all Masons, but simultaneously we're supporters of love, truth, justice, equality, and so anyone who's against that, no matter what they may call themselves. Anyone who's against that cannot be a Mason according to what Masonry is. But the people who carry on with those names, Masonry and Illuminati, and use it for harm, it's too bad for them, because they're the ones who, they may seem like they're enjoying their life when they're drinking the wine or laughing about someone getting killed or whatever, but I guarantee you, you can't live like that and not feel pain deep down within you. And it's there's no way that
unless of course you can't feel empathy because you're a clinically diagnosed psychopath. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with John the Baptist Illuminati Congo. Back in a minute, folks.